Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So let's jump right in. Our today's guest, Ms. Angela B. Sprague, is an accomplished author, writer, communicator, networker, and, in her own words, a fempreneur. She is a professional women empowerment consultant and a voiceover artist as well. With keen interest in the field of aviation, she aims to pursue her PhD in the aviation sector. And before we begin, let me tell you something about her. The conversation with Angela was one of the most interesting, mind-blowing, and engaging ones that I have had till date. So, let's welcome Angela on All Things Relationship Podcast.
Hi, Angela. Welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing great, thank you. And thank you so much for the invitation. And I'm looking forward to a very unusual topic for me.
Yeah, it's a really unusual topic. People do not talk about it a lot. You know, there are a lot of people who even consider this topic a taboo. Love, relationships, and especially the intimacy part. That's not something people talk about.
So if you take yourself, you know, in your childhood, the core of you as a person doesn't change. Because whatever made you happy when you were a child is making you still happy when you're growing up. You know, that hasn't changed. But you're evolving, you're getting to know you more. So at each stage, you're liking different things. And when you come into sexual awareness, that is another journey, because that's still a learning, isn't it? When you're in high school, you have crushes and, you know, you fancy random people and your bodies are evolving. So your bodies are going through a phase where, you know, if you really wanted to look at it, your body is looking for a mate, you know? So your hormones are not stable and all the reactions, the body's reaction is stronger than your undeveloped mind. So that's why we go through yo-yo for the first, you know, in our 20s. And I even say some people are still always carrying on because they fail to understand how the mind works, how the body works. And we all have this desire of, this is what I want, the untrue version of love. Yeah. And, you know, I have a lot to say on that topic. I coach women privately and I, you know, guide them from my experiences and encourage them to, you know, look more within themselves. So I normally talk about it, but I've never actually, you know, talked about this, you know, to the wider world. So it feels really strange.
You know, when you are in a one-to-one conversation, you know the person, you know what they need.
Yes.
But when you are talking to a larger audience, there are so many people who have different mindset, who have different experiences and different upbringing as well.
Then
how they will perceive what you are saying will change drastically over the scales. And yes, the cultures.
Yes, yeah. This is the problem humanity has. 95% of the people are followers. They follow, you know? But really, I think this is the core part of our problem, or the problem in humans, is we need to look inside ourselves, connect with ourselves, and see what we are about and what we want. You know, it's not just about how the families operate or how the cultures operate, but who are you? People just follow, and that's why nothing is changing. And I really think, if we started saying, you know, this is a solution that's going to work for this person or the majority, that can't be right, can it? Because we are all individuals. How many times do we say, oh, you know, we are all unique, we are all individuals, yet we want one solution for everybody? It's not going to work, is it? We want one solution for everybody. That's not how the cookie crumbles. That's not how the world operates. So you can't have one solution for billions of unique individuals. What do you think about it, especially where relationships are concerned?
Having one solution for everything is like saying, okay, so this is the vaccine. It will cure every illness you have and it will make you look like Mr. Universe, Mr. World, and Miss World, all that. Yeah. And even if it does, okay, let's assume at one end, hypothetically in some parallel universe, it does. Mm. Would you want it? Would you want to be the same as everyone?
No, that's one of the things I love about my life is being unique. And I am truly quite unique and I love it. I don't want anything to change.
Precisely. That's the thing. Even if in a hypothetical world, you leave everything, you become the best looking person with the most strength, flexibility and everything. But then everyone will have that option. And then,
yeah, it'd be a bit boring, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, I happen to have quite vivid imagination and then everyone being same and all the experiences, you know, being identical. It's like, okay, the best experiences are also not boring. Because it's the same thing repeating over and over.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so even the ideal world cannot be ideal because then it won't be humans. It'll just be robots running around with same program set and same instructions.
This is how we need to think. I always say, I don't need to compete with you because you don't even know who I am. You know, I don't need to compete with you. You're not a competition. I am my competition because in my world, only I know who I am and only I know where my strengths are, where my weaknesses are and what I need to work on. So I don't need to compete unless I feel inferior and you're competing, then you're not living your life. You're living somebody else's life. I have never been in a clique or group. I don't mind people following me. I don't follow. So, you know, I am my own competitor. I compete with me. So
that's really great.
You know, I never take disappointment to heart. I never do. I'm not under examination. You know, I see an opportunity and I say, okay, might work. And if it doesn't, I just say, no worries. You know, there are so many other opportunities. I have a Womenkind Cafe podcast as well. And I started because I wanted to educate. So I started reading some materials and a lot of my writing work came into play. I always say everything you do, no matter how insignificant it may be, do it with the greatest of pleasure. And to me, when you do everything that way, you're not working, you're just having fun. If I'm working, I always say I need to start at this time. I never tell anybody usually that I finish at this time because I always say when I get in the car and I'm coming home, I'm finished, you know. So I don't have, I finished at 5 o'clock. I need to be home. Ah! No, I don't do that. Because sometimes I feel like, oh, you know, we finished work and let's go for a coffee. Let's go for a chat. Yep.
Okay. Being on time for the finish line is, again, sign of a follower because they are working by the clock. They're not working by the quality or work done.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. I can understand that. If I am going to do a work, somebody complimented my work recently and they said, you really do it with, you know, the fullness of your heart. I don't care if I was doing a video for somebody and it really should have taken about 10 minutes. Oh my God, it took me 2 days.
What? Tiny video.
You know, I was creating content and then making a video. So I did number of samples, too many samples. So I thought, one outside, one inside, how does it? So I have to do it properly. If somebody's asked me to do something, it needs to be done with my personality in full, you know. To me, that's living. I love life. Yeah, I keep to time. I always say, if somebody's just given me project out of the blue, then I need to sort of adjust that into my already busy schedule. So I would say I'll do my best, but I am not going to give you half-hearted work. I don't care if it takes double the time, but you have to have a character in everything you do, in how you walk, how you produce your work, your relationships, your friendships. And I always say, have a strong character, because no matter where I am, whether I am at work or whether I'm in a relationship or whether I'm with just friends or with my colleagues or with clients, they will all know the same character. That doesn't falter. That doesn't change. You know, all I do is change my clothes. I don't change. So wherever I am, whoever I am with, my character remains. And that is something I believe you need to have to understand what you really want. And that's how you get a good relationship. Going around the houses to going back on the relationship.
Well, that's where we start from.
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay, as we are back to relationships, What do you think of relationships? What's your take on it?
When you say relationship, the word, It has a very deep emotional binding. That's how I understand it. I always say, like, I have a lot of friends that are my family. To me, I don't see... There is a blood family and there's a non-blood family. I don't see that. I see a person who I connect with, who walks honestly, and that is my family. That's how I see it. And where a relationship is concerned, we have relationships, you know, friends, family, brother, sister, whatever. But when we have a relationship of intimate nature, to me, that is, you really have to connect. I don't necessarily enjoy, you know, flings. I don't enjoy them. I've not had them. To me, they don't assist. For some people, physical intimacy is important more than anything else. For me, emotional intimacy is most important. So you do have to have a deep connection with a partner for that relationship to thrive. But I've had some very, very wonderful, I have two serious relationships. And I've had wonderful relationships that worked, and I knew that it wasn't going to go further. So it's just ended on a good note. So I don't believe in having exes as your enemies. I believe in good, it's good while it lasted, and it's time to move on. So that's my take on that.
So how do you manage the emotions which will be like, okay, come on, we had some great time, maybe we can make it work? Or do you not feel them? Or like, how do you work around those emotions if you have it in the same manner?
You really need to know who you are. A lot of people don't know who they are. A lot of people fall in love and they do whatever the partner is telling them to do, or the other way around. Sometimes the stronger partner is a male and sometimes it's a female. So they sort of lead each other on. And I don't think a lot of people have a clue about relationships, to be perfectly honest. People just fall into this honeymoon period of a relationship. And when that starts to deteriorate, people wonder what's gone wrong. To me, your honeymoon period should be infinity. It should carry on, you know. There should be no honeymoon period. It should be perfect all the way. I believe that when you are quite sure of what you want and what you need, two different things, it will be very, very clear where you need to go. Because if I give myself as an example, I cannot be with a partner where I am being strangled or suffocated, you know, in a metaphorical way, of course. It's where I can't grow and I can't be myself and mm-hmm. I can't exercise my freedom. I am not going to be in that relationship. And I believe in some form of equality in a relationship. I have dated a person who is not so educated and differences happen and the level of understanding is visible. You're not going to grow. I'm not saying that's true about everybody, but mm-hmm. there has to be some standards that should meet for the relationship to thrive. So to me, it has to be what's important to you. To me, I have lots of things that has to be absolute, you know, otherwise we are not going anywhere. Yes. And if you can't match that, you know, it's not going to work. So it's better that you find a way to bring that closure and move on. So you have to be clear on what you want. And I have been clear about what I need and what I want. Then you need to build on that side of things and focus on that. And you need to constantly question yourself why this. It's going to hurt more if the other person is the end in it, right? It's going to hurt you because you think this is going to be beautiful and wonderful the rest of your days. But ultimately, Nishant, we all want to have perfect relationships. We all want happiness. We all want flourishing relationships. We all want hot partners, don't we? We all want, you know, model type partners, and we all want everything we see in the media or as the media portrays it to be. Focus on what's important to you. And I have never hated somebody for leaving me. When my first person left me, it's actually quite sweet. You might want to hear it. He left me because he thought he wasn't good enough for me.
Okay.
So he said, Angela, I'm not going to stay with you anymore. And that was his honest answer, by the way. There was no fights or anything. There was no, how can you do this to me? He was just so honest. Wow. He said, I'm not good enough for you. But that's because when you meet great people, Nishant, it's honorable. It doesn't matter how it started, how much you've experienced, how much you've loved and exchanged. When you meet fantastic, honorable people, they will not hurt you. They will only want the best for you. This is the most important thing. If somebody's ending that with you, it's not always selfish. Because it would have been so selfish for that guy to say, you know, I've got something good here, you know. And he said, Angela, I'm not good enough for you. And I felt sort of not nice at the time. I thought, how could you? I mean, what's wrong with you? But I understood we are on a different platform.
Okay. So as you mentioned that people should be able to manage their emotions because either you handle your emotions or your emotions handle you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you think is the cause of relationships going bad?
I think they're just two wrong people together. I think when relationships don't work out, it's because their needs and wants are different. You know, one wants to excel and the other doesn't. That's not mm-hmm. a good match. You must have heard of power couple. Yeah, it's a terminology that is used for, you know, you see some people, they're just magnets together. They are power couple because they just are great together. They do great things together. They are perfect for each other.
You're completely right on that. What happens is when you two are not aligned with your goals, you will not be able to nurture each other.
So yes.
At the end, it will be, well, what you can say, hamper each other's goals.
Yeah, that's also true.
Emotionally close is what you want more than anything else. It's the emotional connection that you look for.
Yes.
What I am observing is that nowadays, that's not a common phenomenon. people are not, you know, as much looking for the emotional connection. They are just looking for a quick enjoyment. What is the reason for that? What do you think people are not as much invested or investing themselves or emotions or even looking for that?
If I say to you,
mm-hmm.
nothing has changed, would you find that shocking or would you disagree?
I would think of it as an interesting perspective. Yeah, the first instinct would be to disagree, but I know that there is some reason behind this take of yours. So I would love to know why you think that way.
The only thing that has changed, whether you are in the West or the East, nothing has changed. But if you wanted to say something has changed, if you wanted to consider something did change, and I would say is this, accessibility. That's all. We have more access to knowledge. We are in more contact, readily available with whatever we need, whether we're looking for casual fun. You can just pick up the phone and have a chat with a stranger or meet up with a stranger. You know, there are so many apps that connects you to people. Connectivity increases. Accessibility, if there is such a word.
If there isn't, we created one.
Absolutely. We are creators. We create as we go along.
Yes, precisely. We are creators.
Even in the West, in the Victorian culture, which I always say, Indian culture is like a Victorian culture. It's identical. Everything is identical. It's like finding the suitor and, you know, exchange of dowries. All of that existed in the Victorian culture too. If we were to concentrate on the Eastern culture, women were less exposed to the outer world, whereas now there is not much difference no matter where you go. You know, there is no difference. Women, more and more women are taking leadership roles, whether you are in India or China or England or USA. The problems that men and women face, they're the same no matter what country you're from. So nothing has changed. The only thing is that has changed, you can pick up the phone and you can have whatever you want. That's all.
Yes. If I see from that perspective, yes, everyone have their tendencies. It's just now much more easy to, you know, act on them.
But then, I have many friends. Mm-hmm. They have everything they want. They can have as many partners as they want and they choose not to. I'm very picky when I choose partners. You know, it's I don't just here we go. No way. You know, and I have no restrictions. When my dad was alive, he never said, Angela, you can't do this, you can't, nothing. I had none of that. You know, my focus was I want to get my education. Boys are always there. It's not a problem. I've always had great friends. And I have lots of my friends, even now, where accessibility is concerned. I have so many doors open for me. I choose not to, because to me, it's very important that you take time to choose the person who meets your desires, your needs, your wants, and who would be a great companion.
That's actually important if you are thinking in the long run. Actually thinking, if you are not just acting on the impulse, that is exactly what I go for.
Yeah. Be very, very, very picky.
True. Okay. What do you think has improved since your parents' generation and yours? And even in the upcoming generation, so the generation next to you, there are three generations that you know, have right in front of you, one before you, yours, and the one next to you. How things have changed, apart from accessibility factor?
Yeah. You're going to laugh. accessibility or not, everything remains the same. We still make love the same way. We still chase the same way. We still woo our partners the same way. We still select the same way. So nothing has changed apart from you just have more choices. You know more people, you know, reiterating that slightly. So if I was to speak from my personal experience, if I considered three generations, I would say my best experience was of my grandmother and grandfather. They were the best example in my views, because this is how they lived. But there, you will see some people, it could be a man or a wife, a man or a woman. Sometimes I had one relationship which wasn't going to last, I kind of knew. And it was very apparent that, you know, there was a controlling factor coming into it. You know, it's difficult to explain. But he wasn't the supportive role like my grandpa was. You know, his intentions or his ways started to suffocate me, and I couldn't thrive. I couldn't breathe at times. So I loved the example of my grandfather. He loved his wife and he supported her. Because he thought she is so good at what she's doing, I'm just going to let her get on with it. So that was the best relationship.
Wow.
My dad's relationship was the worst. So that's the middle generation.
Okay. That's quite a drastic change.
Yes. My dad learnt nothing from my grandparents. My dad was a playboy. He was very, very handsome man. And he had numerous girlfriends and he didn't care, you know. So, and he died a lonely old man. So the person he wanted to be with, she was not with him for that reason. So that ended badly. The future generation, I think they're a little bit, I have a great respect for the next generation, because the next generation is getting tired of the adults of today who are ruining the planet. They're ruining everything. So I want to put all my faith in the new generation, because at least they are passionate about the things they want to change. So I am more hopeful towards the next generation.
Well, that's a really interesting take. Being hopeful about the next generation is something I rarely listen to. Almost everyone out here has said, okay, things are just getting worse. But the way you put it, yeah, they are just getting, you know, a medium to express the desires everyone has. The accessibility factor.
Yeah. My grandmother's generation was suppressive generation, because everything was controlled. You have to behave in a certain way. And what happens when you suppress a human being? What happens? They go in all different directions that are not good for them, you know? So today's generation, or the future generation, is allowed to make their own minds and make their own decisions. They're allowed to explore, be expressive. And when you free a human being and remove that toxicity, and then allow them to grow, that's when beautiful things happen. So I am hopeful for the future generation.
that's really great.
Thank you.
So, Angela, when you were in a relationship before that, when you there was a point when you were never in a relationship, then there was a point when you were in your first relationship, and then there was a point when you just ended that. How did your perception of relationships change during these three stages?
Oh, that's a deep question. Oh, I've not thought about that in a proper way. All I can say from my experience that I like to live life without regrets, and the same applies to my relationships of the past, because the pleasure, the pain, the learning, the experiences that I have gained from being with that person outweighs the resentment. So my perception for each individual varies, but more or less the same.
Okay. So there's not a lot of changes in how you saw relationships or even love change during these three stages, before, during, and after.
When you don't achieve what you need and what you desire, it's inevitable you do something about that. You can either stay and carry on and be miserable. I go with, if you see a problem, find a solution. If you can't find a solution, then you have to take the next course of action. You know? And for me, I give all possibilities. And when end is inevitable, then it must be. So I cannot be in a relationship where I cannot grow and where I am not allowed to be me.
But yeah, that's the conscious you talk in. What about the emotions?
I've probably, if I was to say, if I was to let you in inside my head for temporarily, I am never doing that again. How did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I put up with that? That's the that's a real picture.
Yeah, no, that is what I can relate with now.
And when you drop your standards, like, oh my god, I cannot believe I dropped my standard for this.
Exactly.
It's better to be single. Honestly, it's better to be single.
exact words I had for months.
So we agree on something, at least.
Same experiences, I'd say.
Yeah. No regrets, mind. No regrets. It's just, you know, when you're not... Life is beautiful. And no matter who you're with, whether you are with your family or your friends or at work, you should be joyful all the time. So why should you be miserable in a relationship? I cannot have that. There is no way I can be in a relationship if I stop laughing. I mean, I laugh. I'm this happy all the time. So why would I go down when I'm in a relationship, you know?
Awesome. Yes. So true. That's why the thing. Why did I put up with that bullshit? And for the record, I completely am, you know, a fan of the concept, there are no mistakes.
When you're with your partner, you should be high. You know? You should be high. Yeah. People think I'm drunk or something all the time because I'm always happy. You know? It's like, so when you are with that person, you're going to be even happier than I am most days. If I don't meet that standard and above, what's the point of a relationship?
True. So true. Okay, there's one question that picks me up every time.
Right.
Okay. If you have met your teenager self, what advice would you give her?
I've heard that so many times. And I've thought about this so many times. You know, when you're listening to other people's interviews, what would you say to yourself? I would say to myself, I told you not to break those principles.
I told you.
Told you, didn't I?
But here I am, knowing you will do it again and again, time and time again.
No, I won't. I'll tell you something about my teenage years. I had great principles.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I am now, I had thought about, you know, when I was a teenager. I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew what I didn't want. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I didn't want. You know, sometimes it's easier. A lot of people ask you, what do you want in life? But we never pay attention to what I will not tolerate with. And when I ask somebody, what is freedom to you? And a lot of people ask that question to your interviewees. A lot of people can't answer that question. But I always say, what is freedom to you? What makes you think you are independent and free? And my answer is to have the ability to say no. That makes you free. A lot of people get persuaded in, go this way, okay, oh, the heart doesn't want to. And I've been there. I'm not, you know, super, I am a superhuman, but I do sometimes allow myself to make mistakes. Allow myself.
Uh-huh. It's a conscious decision.
Yes, exactly. I think the greatest act of free will is to say, or have the ability to say no. A lot of people cannot say no. So when I was in my teens, when I was a young person, I knew the things I cannot and will not tolerate with. And once you know what you don't tolerate with, you will not go in that direction. So forget about what you want, because we all want great things and pleasant things and beautiful things. We all want those. Maybe focus on what you will not want or not ever tolerate. So when I was in my teenage years, I knew exactly what I will not tolerate in a relationship.
So that's what helped you stay away from unpleasant experiences.
Yes, very true. I have been very, very fortunate to have partners of very gentle nature and very kind, loving nature. So I can't say, you know, I can't say I've had bad experiences ever, really, because I took my time to choose, no matter how, you know, what type of relationship it was. And when you treat human beings with care and attention, you will not get the opposite happen to you when you choose carefully. So I have had great experiences with intimate partners. And when it ended beautifully.
So if there's one chance that you could go back and change one thing that you did or in your life, what would it be?
It would only be that, you see, if I say that, then I'm sacrificing the experience I had. So I don't want to say I shouldn't have broken my principles. I learned more about how I would have responded. So what I would like to say, I don't think I will change anything, because with those experiences came a lot of love also and a lot of support that I needed at the time. So I can't ever discredit what I had. But what I could say in the future, what I will not tolerate, is to drop my standards ever.
All right. So that exhausts my questions.
Good.
I am like, okay, it's, you know, the spiritual take on relationships is something that I had not seen earlier. It's something I'm introduced to quite recently, less than a year ago, actually. And since then, I have been so vested in the idea that I'm trying to explore more about it, know more what it means. And I'm even discovering that that is how even I would do, I prefer mine to be. consciously or unconsciously, that is the direction I have been in. And maybe that is the reason this idea appeals to me a lot more.
Yes. When you connect to yourself, you know, spiritually, when you are more aware of who you are, when you're connecting more with the universe and how it works, when you pay attention to earth and life, and then you're seeing yourself, who you actually are and what you want, when you start to learn about who you are and what you need, you will attract those people to you. Those people will enter your life that you need.
I hope that happens soon.
Patience also is a virtue of life. Did I tell you that?
Well, it's one I'm dearly missing.
Oh.
Well, it's something I lack, and I'm, you know, well aware of it. Well, not all the virtues are there together every time.
You know, Nishant, I believe we all are just fine the way we are. You know, I only will recommend that you just connect with yourself, connect with who you are. You're fine. Everybody is fine. I don't know why people want to be otherwise. Exactly how you're made, what your shape is, who you look like, how you behave, it's fine. It's fine. But if you really want to enjoy the magic of life, then connect with it.
It's a great concept, but it's something I have not achieved great success with. So maybe I can say it's a work in progress.
I read a post the other day. I don't know if it was, I think it was yesterday. If you are an overthinker, you need a communicator as a partner.
Yeah, precisely.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Angela. Thanks a lot for the conversation and for all this time that you have allowed me to take and the knowledge bombs you have shared. You know, all these, especially the factor that, yes, it's not the people who have changed, it's the accessibility factor. That, okay, now they can do all the things they wanted to. Because people were doing it earlier as well. It just was not scrutinized as much. It was not in the limelight. Now everyone knows about it, so it's in the limelight.
Nothing has changed. We had brothels in the past, quite openly. India was very famous for free women, wasn't it? Singers, great talents, and they were very looked after by the royals. You know, they had great position in the royal houses. So nothing, yeah. Absolutely nothing has changed.
So as a matter of fact, queens were more renowned than the kings themselves many a times.
Absolutely. They had powerful positions.
Yeah.
And look how we look at a prostitute today. Nothing. And they had the most powerful position back in the day, you know? It's the era we're in. We go with it. We go with whatever is happening. But don't let the information absorb you. You absorb what you need. Don't go with the flow. This society is so messed up. Don't run with it.
Okay.
This society is so messed up. You need to become the observer and say, okay, this is what I got. What am I going to take from this? How am I going to be the best of me in what I've got? That's all you have to do. And just enjoy. Just amuse yourself. Just enjoy life. You will come to my way of thinking. Just carry on talking to me.
Sure.
Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely loved it.
Thanks a lot for the time and wisdom and knowledge. It's something, oh, it's wow.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure meeting you as well.